Gardner. Hello to everyone. I have a request. I'm going to read your first names. And if I don't read your name, I would like to have it. This has to do with my sermon. Kitty, Orville, Jimmy, Laura, Luann, Tom, Eric, Samantha, Kenny and Darlene, Wesley and Patty. Who didn't I call?
Cheyenne.
I'm sorry?
Cheyenne.
Cheyenne? Anyone else? Oh, I missed you. Tell me your name. Eric, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't get old. Anyone else?
Sven.
I'm having trouble hearing you.
S-V-E-N.
S-V-E-N. Sven. Okay. Is that it? I know you think I lost my mind, but you'll see here in a minute. You would think, since they gave us more time, we'd be down here like 2 hours early, but we're all creatures of habit, aren't we? We try to leave 3 hours before to get down here, and naturally we wait until 3 hours before to leave. Well, that doesn't work, because I forgot I had to stop and get gas, and we didn't exactly leave it 3 hours before. Not that I'm pointing fingers or anything, but it was my fault too. If any of you have had animals, I separated my cows and calves from the older calves from the younger ones, and naturally I had one younger calf that refused to go into its mother. I finally gave up, and it's probably going to be good and hungry when I get home, but that was yesterday, and I still couldn't get him in. But anyway, it has nothing to do with the sermon. Sorry. In Deuteronomy 1:38, I want to begin there, Deuteronomy 1:38. We read, this is God speaking to Moses. And God tells Moses to tell Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Encourage. The word encourage comes from the Hebrew number 2388. I couldn't tell you how to pronounce it. But it means to fasten upon, to seize, to be strong, courageous, and strengthen. It also means to help, to repair, to restrain or conquer, to be of good courage, to establish, to fortify, to maintain, to become mighty, to prevail, to be recovered, to behave self-violently, and to withstand. It means a lot of things, in other words. It occurs 290 times in the King James Version of the Bible, and also in Deuteronomy 3:28, I just refer to that. God also tells Moses again to charge Joshua and encourage him, strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, he shall cause them to inherit the land which you shall see. So, brethren, this order that God gave to Moses, the order was to encourage. God told Moses to encourage Joshua. It was given long ago for the benefit of Joshua to be strong so that he could go in, lead the children of Israel into the promised land. You know, this order is not unlike the order that God gives every Christian to inherit the kingdom. I'll refer you also to Matthew 6:33, memory scripture that I'm sure you all know, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. We need encouragement, don't we? It's a hard life. Matthew 11:12. I would like to read that. Scripture that took me a long time to understand. Matthew 11. Just in verse 12. Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I thought we weren't supposed to be violent. But looking in for the Greek word for violence, it comes from the Greek 971. It means to seize, to press, to force yourself. It's also taken from the Greek 979, a primary word, life, that is literally talking about the present state of existence. By implication, it means our own livelihood. Good life. And violent, the second use of violent, is from the Greek 973, and it means to take it by force. That's what it says. So violent here isn't used in a negative way. It's used to encourage us that the kingdom of heaven isn't something that God says you can have and you say, okay, and you don't do anything. The world believes that. Just say you believe in Jesus and you've made it. Well, this scripture points out that that's not what we have to do. We have to take it by force. That means, as Mr. Call said in his sermon, that means daily study, pray. Those things are our aids so that we can take it by force. Without it, we couldn't. Those are our weapons. So we see that we all have the same order, the same encouragement from God. Throughout the Bible, God encourages us to press forward towards the goal. However, we also have an enemy, don't we? Satan. He's not as powerful as God, not close, but he's much more powerful than we are. We also have our own bodies that fail. We have discouragements. We have people who maybe would just assume we didn't exist anymore. Or at least we think that sometimes. And we have the same enemy, death. Of course, we know in 1 Corinthians 15:26 that the last enemy to be destroyed will be death. So what are we to do with life when life hits us? When friends aren't, when our strength weakens, and those we care about don't, and our loved one dies. Well, today, brethren, we will be looking at, as a long forerunner into my SBS, which is, we'll be looking at encouraging scriptures from our Father, our Creator, and from our brother, Jesus Christ, who has suffered with us and knows all of our problems. Those are the beings who will never forsake us, no matter what happens. To make this happen the way I want, I would ask each of you to place your name in the following scriptures. I will be placing your names in them also. Now, I don't know. I didn't sort out what scripture to add with what name, so hopefully it applies. I'm sure it will have one time or another in our lives, so just bear with me. I'm not pointing at you or calling you out on anything. As an example of what I'm talking about, let's turn to Exodus 34. Exodus 34 and verse 6. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for Kenny, and forgiving iniquity and transgressions of sin. So, you can insert your name in this without fear of changing God's law to not change any word, and we're not actually changing the Bible, we're just applying it to ourselves. So this is kind of what I had in mind, and that was just an example. So let's begin in Exodus 14. Exodus 14, verse 14. Fight for us. God will fight for us. The Lord will fight for you, Kitty, and you shall hold your peace. 1 Peter 5:7. Try not to go too fast with these. I have several. First Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares, Orville, on God, for He cares for you. Numbers 6:23. Numbers 6 and verse 23. And this is under a heading I have for that God loves us. Number 6:23 through 26. Speak to Aaron and his sons. This is a way that Jimmy will walk and bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless Jimmy and keep Jimmy. The Lord make his face to shine upon Laura and be gracious to Laura. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon Luann. And give Tom peace. Why am I doing this? Because we read through scriptures many times and we just read over them. What do they mean? How do they apply? Well, if you insert your name in the scripture, it makes it come to life. This is the way I feel about it. I think that it's very effective. Hopefully you find it the same. In John 3:16. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son for Eric, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 10:28. John 10:28. And I give Samantha eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. When I was in ABC in 2000, Mr. Antion gave me an example that made a lot of sense to me as far as our protection. Mr. Antion, said that when we are of God, it's like He has this great hand and we're inside of His hand. And every time something tries to come around to get us, He just closes His fingers around us. Nothing can ever bother us as long as we're in God's hand. He said you can never, ever get out of that hand except one way. And we all waited in silence. He said, you can jump. You're always in God's hand unless you leave the hand. And you never have to worry about God ever forsaking us, forsaking you, because He won't, no matter how bad things get. So God loves us. I'm going back to Deuteronomy 31:8. Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before Darlene. He will be with Darlene. He will not leave Wesley nor forsake Patty. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Luke 12:28. Luke 12, verse 28. If then God so clothes the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe Cheyenne? Oh, you of little faith. Not you personally. That's just the way it reads. That applies to all of us. We can all put our name in there. That's under the heading of don't fear. Have no fear. God repays our efforts. Let's go back to Ruth 2:12. Well, Ruth is in here somewhere. Ruth 2 and verse 12. The Lord repays Eric's work, and full reward he gives. Seven, your work and full reward he gives Seven by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Okay, I've used everyone's name once, so I'm not going to keep doing that. It takes too much time. I'll just refer to the scriptures and what I have here that means. I was going to do the whole page, but we want to go home sometime, I assume. Okay, in Hebrews 6:10. Hebrews 6:10. You work, you serve, no one ever notices. You think, okay, I'm not doing this for any recognition, but it would be nice if somebody occasionally noticed. If you have those feelings now and then, Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God will not and does not forget. 1 John 5:13. Meaning to get a new Bible. My pages are getting so hard to turn. Arthritis doesn't help either. 1 John 5, verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. We know we have eternal life. It is a promise. God does not forget his promises. What about our enemies? You have enemies? 2 Samuel. Second Samuel 22:4. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Simple scriptures, but if we use them in our lives in a real way. So many times we have people that maybe cause us problems. We have our own feelings of health problems and so forth. And we say, what am I going to do when God is right here all the time? We just have to pick up his word. God is talking to all of us. That's why I ask you to put your name in here. No matter what is wrong, what can be wrong in your life, not only has Christ been through it already and can help, but God knows, and God is there, and he doesn't forget. For two others, I'll refer you for enemies, is Micah 7:19. Micah 7:19 and Zephaniah 3:17. Let's go to Psalms now. So, I'm sorry, Psalms 34, 7. I thought I said it. Psalms 34. Psalms 34, 7. This is under the heading of God repays our efforts. No, it isn't. It's under the heading of God never leaves us. Psalm 34, 7. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him. He delivers them. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Psalms 37, 28. 37, 28. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake His saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. God never leaves us. Psalm 50, 15. Sometimes Satan really hammers that in. We're all alone, but we're not all alone. Psalm 50, 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Anytime we have trouble, call out to God. He will deliver us. It's going over to chapter 61. Chapter 61, verse 4. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. You know, when our chickens hatch out little chicks, from the very beginning when they first are hatched, and most of you know this already, you can't be a Kentuckian and not know how a chicken works. But anyway, the little chicks, and the rest of us as well, the little chicks, where are they? They're not out running around. They need the body heat. They have to maintain, 99-something degrees at the very first day they're hatched. So they huddle under the chicken's wings. And if you try to pick up one of those chicks, the chicken will let you know because she's going to peck you. She doesn't want you to bother her chicks. God says that we're like little chicks under His wings. Okay, another scripture I will refer you to is Isaiah 54:10 and Hebrews 13:5. God will never leave us. God forgives us. God renews us. Let's go back to Psalm 73. I don't usually like to use as many scriptures, but I was trying to show with a preponderance of the evidence just how many scriptures are for us to encourage us, to help us. Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalms 85, 2. Psalms 85, verse 2. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all of their sin, referring to God. He forgives our iniquity. He forgives our sin. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, beginning in verse 2. Psalm 103. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's wings. And you might say, I'm 70-some years old, and I'm not, but you might say, I'm 63 years old, and my strength doesn't feel like eagle's wings or anything else flying around. And you know, sometimes we think, well, I've asked God over and over, and I'm still getting older. I can't seem to get away from it. Well, you know, we're given so many years by God, and no matter how much we ask God, He's not going to prolong our life physically. He can make our lives better. if we cry out to Him. And He does even when we don't ask, because He knows what we need even before we ask that. And I won't go to those scriptures, but I know that you've been through them many times. So God forgives and He renews. God gives us, reminds us of His everlasting covenant in Isaiah 55:3. Isaiah 55, reading in verse 3. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. That's a promise. When you become baptized, you follow God's law. There's criteria. We have to follow God's law. It's not, okay, I confess, I sinned, now I'm going to live forever. We have criteria that we have to, as Mr. Carl pointed out, daily. I mean, who knows about our English language? Satan has been the god of this world for upcoming 6,000 plus years. The very things that we're trying not to say, not to use, what they call bad words, our regular English may be in some way a confrontation and a blasphemy against God. And we can't even know it because it's been so many years. Believe, that's why we get a new language. That's why we have to have a new language, because otherwise, for eternity, we could be blaspheming our Creator. Well, I think you can understand He wouldn't want that. Everlasting covenant, Daniel 7:18. Daniel 7, verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever, forever and ever. And I added a couple evers, but it's a long time. It's a promise. It's not; those aren't just black and white words that you read and say, oh, well, that's nice. Internalize them. Put your name in there. Understand that God is speaking. If you were the only person on earth, that scripture would be there. If I was the only person, I would be reading the same words. Because Satan would still be there and I would still be messing up and not even knowing it maybe sometimes. Restores health from suffering. Jeremiah 30:17. Jeremiah 30:17. Basically, I tried to think of any possible thing that we might be facing. I had a friend that Mr. Myers, he has leukemia and is dying. And gave him a bunch of scriptures, and I borrowed a lot of them. But they came out of the same Bible. It wasn't a message that he gave him. It was just scriptures. But it was, he told him the same thing. Put your name in there. And I thought, well, that's a great message. We all need to do that, don't we? Jeremiah 30, verse 17. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her. I will now this could be futuristic, obviously, in the kingdom and when we're spirit. But it doesn't say just that, does it? It says, right now, call upon Him. I will restore your health. As long as it's within God's plan, obviously. Daniel 7:18. Under receive the kingdom. Daniel 7:18. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. And I just read that, didn't I? Well, it must have been good. The point is, we can never forget that God has promised us everything. Literally everything. If I could make you eternal and give you everything that exists right now, you probably would appreciate it. Take away all your pain and suffering, this is what God is offering each of us. And we can't get in on someone else's skirt tails, as the saying goes, but each of us, when you're of the age of accountability, must approve this to yourself and then we must all live our lives in a way that's pleasing to God, in a way of service, in a way of love. God is love. We are to exemplify God's love through all of our actions, through everything, not only that we do, but even more secretly, those things we think. You may not call the guy next to you a dirty old man, smile and say, "You're wonderful." But if you're thinking you're a dirty old man, you just lied to him. God knows it. He may never know it. So we have to live honest lives, don't we? Now, obviously, a wise person doesn't tell everything in his heart, so he might be a dirty old man. I don't know. I don't mean you, Tom, just because I looked at you. I'll have to ask her if you are, but nevertheless, moving on along. Jesus serves us and we serve. Mark 10:45. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served. I mean, he had the Holy Spirit from birth. Of anyone that ever lived, in our way of thinking, in man's way of thinking, he should have been served. But he said he didn't come to serve. To be served. He came to serve. But he says, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Insert your name. This is what we are to do as well on a daily basis, to give our lives as a ransom for many. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Put your name there. Have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I, you, who live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How much more loving and powerful words can we read? And how much more of a goal should we have than what is stated here? This is how we are to be living our lives. Philippians 1:6, complete work in us. Philippians 1:6. I'm going to back up to verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. How many times have we gotten depressed and said, God doesn't love me. Why am I alive? My life's a shambles. I have. I mean, I'm not proud of it, but I have. That's my lack of faith. It's not lack of faith that God has. It's my lack of faith. That's why we were to, I'm not picking on him, but as he said, we were to renew the Spirit daily. We have to, just like we have to eat daily. And we don't have to, but we like to. We definitely have to drink to some semblance of daily or close to it. Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all of our needs to his riches in the glory of Jesus Christ. not some of our needs, not most of our needs. He will supply all your need. Now, obviously, that's all that He knows that we need. We may think we need a new boat or something, but unless it comes under God's list of what we need, don't count on it. All that we need. And I don't even have it written down, but the scripture about how many hairs on the head that God, you realize that He has to have an angel counting hairs all the time, especially if your hairs keep coming out or every time you comb or whatever. For that scripture to be accurate 100% of the time, He has to always know how many hairs is in your head. I want to meet the angel that does accounting. Maybe he just knows somehow. I don't know. Maybe each hair has a name. Wouldn't that be something? George just fell out. Oh, well. Revelation 1. Revelation 1, verse 5 through 6. Revelation 1, 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us, me, your name, and washed you, our name, whoever, from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. I mean, just think about that. He takes blood out of His own body and washes each of us, figuratively. Humbling, isn't it? That you're loved that much by a being that's so much out of our ability to understand, I can't even explain it. He's just so much greater. But yet He would love a piece of dirt, piece of sand, whatever you want to be. How dare each of us to allow Satan to get us down when we have such wonderful promises. Revelation 21. Revelation 21:4. I know you've read it many times, but think about it. Put your name in here. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Most of us know what pain is. Children kill themselves every day because of pain. And not necessarily physical pain, like some of us older people have, but emotional pain. Pain because they feel useless or unloved. Won't it be so wonderful when God destroys all of the evil that we have had to deal with? That's why we can be good examples for those in the second resurrection and help them, give them hope. And to everyone around us today, if we're letting Christ live through us and in us, lighting the way for our own lives, should be so bright that everyone can be illuminated by it. So, brethren, anytime we're down and we feel alone, or anytime we hurt, we feel beaten, or anytime we tire of doing good, when there's so much evil that surrounds us, we can know that we have a great, loving God, a Father, and an elder brother, who watches us even while we sleep, and is always there waiting and willing if we just ask. That's the only thing He asks us to do, is ask. Isn't it? He doesn't say do three loops around the block or what. I mean, some of those things I couldn't begin to do. but we can ask. That said, we all must die at some point, so even if it's in the twinkling of an eye, our physical bodies will at some point perish, will cease to exist. But as Paul said, and I'll just refer you to 2 Corinthians 5:6, as long as we remain physical, we are not with God. And that means that when we die, the very next second, the very next thought is in the kingdom with Jesus Christ and God the Father saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Inherit eternity. I mean, those left are mourn for the body that's in the grave or wherever we are, and we miss them, our loved ones. But they haven't made. Their very next thought, they will be in the kingdom. That's why in 2 Corinthians 5:6, as I just said, Paul's saying that as long as we remain physical or in the body, meaning the physical body, we can't be with God because we're alive. That's the reason. It's not hard math here. Now, some may say, well, that means when you die, you're in heaven. No, it doesn't mean that either. It just means our next conscious thought, we will be with God. I encourage you to read the scriptures, and there's many, many more. I certainly didn't round up all the scriptures. There's so many. I was pleasantly surprised of how much of the Bible is just there to encourage us, to give us information on how we can have better lives, of how we can live and live with one another and create little children and raise them so that they can do the same thing. God is waiting to hear us, to hear from us. He's waiting with His encouraging words so that we can be strengthened, so that we can be encouraged. I encourage you to read the encouraging words of God every day. So that we can be strengthened for the goals and the times that are not only now, but lie in the near future, distant future, however long that God allows us to be on earth. Let's be encouraged. Let's encourage one another. Let's allow God's words to encourage us.